Chronicle of Brutus, the First Briton King. After the Trojan War, Innes, fleeing with Ascanius from their destroyed city, sailed to Italy. There he was honourably received by King Latinus, which raised against him the envy of Turnus, king of the Rutuli, who thereupon made war against him. Engaging in battle, Innes got the victory, and killing Turnus obtained the kingdom of Italy, Latium, and with it Lavinia, the daughter of Latinus. After his death, Ascanius, succeeding to the kingdom, built Alba on the Tiber and begat a son named Silvius, who took to wife a niece of Lavinia and had a son called Brutus. At length, after 15 years were expired, the youth accompanied his father in hunting and killed him accidentally by the shot of an arrow. Upon his father's death, he was expelled from Italy, his kinsmen becoming enraged at him for so heinous a deed. Thus banished, he went into Greece, where he found the posterity of Helenus, son of Priamus, kept in slavery by Pandrasus, the king of the Greeks. For, after the destruction of Troy, Pyrrhus, son of Achilles, had brought hither in chains Helenus and many others, and to revenge upon them the death of his father, had commanded that they be held in captivity. Brutus, finding they were, by descent, his old countrymen, took up his abode among them, and began to distinguish himself by his conduct and bravery in war, so as to gain the affection of kings and commanders, and above all, the young men of the country. His fame, spreading over all countries, the Trojans from all parts began to flock to him, desiring under his command to be freed from subjection to the Greeks. There was then in Greece a noble youth named Assaracus, a favourer of their cause, for he was descended on his mother's side from the Trojans. Brutus, having reviewed the number of his men, and seen how Assaracus's castles lay open to him, complied with their request. It is then related that Brutus fought a battle with the army of Pandrasus at the river Acheron, eventually routed the enemy and captured the king, and extracted from the latter his consent for the Trojans to depart from Greece, provided with the ships and provisions necessary for this purpose, and gold and silver, as well as the hand of his beautiful daughter, Ignige, for Brutus. He, Pandrasus, accordingly delivered to the Trojans 324 ships, laden with all kinds of provisions and gold and silver, and married his daughter to Brutus. The Trojans, now released from Pandrasus' power, set sail. The winds continued fair for 2 days and a night together, when at length they arrived at a certain island called Logicia, Lugas, the modern Lucas, about 35 miles south of the mouth of the Acheron River of Epirus. Logicia had been formerly wasted by pirates and was then uninhabited. In it was a desolate city, in which they found a temple of Diana, and in it a statue of that goddess, which gave answers to those that came to consult her. Then they advised their leader to go to the city, and after offering sacrifices, to inquire of the deity of the place what country was allotted to them for their place of settlement, so that Brutus, attended by Geryon the augur and 12 of the oldest men, set forward to the temple. Arrived at the place, and presenting themselves before the shrine with garlands about their brows, as the ancient rites required, they made 3 fires to the 3 deities, Jupiter, Mercury, and Diana, and offered sacrifices to each of them. Brutus himself, holding before the altar of the goddess a consecrated vessel filled with wine and the blood of a white hart, prayed. Goddess of woods, tremendous in the chase, to the mountain boars and all the savage race, wide o'er the ethereal walks extend thy sway, and o'er the infernal mansions void of day. Look upon us on earth, unfold our fate, and say what region is our destined seat. Where shall we next thy lasting temples raise, and choirs of virgins celebrate thy praise? After repeating this prayer, he took four turns around the altar, poured the wine into the fire, and then laid himself down upon the hart skin, which he had spread before the altar, where he fell fast asleep. In the night, in his deep sleep, the goddess seemed to appear before him, and thus responded. Brutus, there lies beyond the Gallic bounds an island which the western sea surrounds. By giants once possessed, now few remain, to bar thy entrance or obstruct thy reign. To reach that happy shore, thy sails employ, their fate decrees to raise a second Troy, and found an empire in thy royal line, which time shall ne'er destroy, nor bounds confine. Awakened by the vision, he called to his companions and related it to them, at which they greatly rejoiced and were urgent to return to their ships and hasten westwards in pursuit of what the goddess had promised. Without delay, they set sail again, and after a course of 30 days came to Africa. From thence they came to the Philenian altars, which are the volcanic sunken rocks east of Carthage, and to a place named Salinae, which is Port Salinus in the southwest corner of Sicily, and sailed between Rasciade or Rasidi or Ali el Mekki, the cape, at what was later Carthage Bay, and the mountains of Azara, the Orza Mountains in Algeria, where they underwent great dangers from pirates, whom they nevertheless vanquished and captured their rich booty. From thence, passing the river Malaya, or the Wadi Malay, west of Oran, forming the east frontier of Morocco, they arrived at Mauritania, where, for want of provisions, they had to go ashore. When they had well stored their ships, they steered to the Pillars of Hercules and came to the Tyrrhenian Sea. Upon its shores they found four several clans descended from the banished Trojans, who had accompanied Antenor in his flight. The name of their commander was Duke Corineus, a modest man in council, but of great courage and boldness, who could overthrow even gigantic opponents. When they learned from whom he was descended, they joined company with him and those under his government, who from the name of their leader were afterwards called the Cornish people. From thence they came to Aquitaine, and entering the mouth of the Loire, cast anchor. Gopharius Pictus, who was king of Aquitaine at that time, hearing of the arrival of a foreign people with a great fleet upon his coasts, sent messengers to demand whether they brought peace or war. The messengers met Corineus, who was come ashore with 200 men to hunt in the woods. They demanded who gave him permission to enter their king's forests and kill his game. Corineus answered, there was no occasion for asking leave, upon which one of them, named Imbertus, rushed forward with full-drawn bow and shot at him. Corineus, avoiding the arrow, ran up to him, and with his bow in hand, broke his head, and the rest escaped with the news to Gopharius. The Pictavian raised an army to revenge the death of his messenger. And there then follows an account of the battle between the Picts and the legion of Brutus and Corineus, in which the latter performs Herculean prodigies of slaughter, single-handed with his battle-axe, and the Picts are put to flight. Brutus pursued them through Aquitaine, to the place where the city of Tours now stands, which he afterwards built, and called it after a Trojan named Chironus, the nephew of Brutus, who was slain and buried there. And Brutus enriched his men with the spoils of the slain. Brutus, afflicted to observe the number of his forces daily lessened, while that of the enemy increased, at last determined to return to his ships, while the greater part of his followers were yet safe and hitherto victorious, and to go in quest of the island that the goddess had told him of. So, with the consent of his company, he repaired the fleet, and loading it with the riches and spoils that he had taken, he set sail with a fair wind to the promised land, and arrived on the coast of Totnes. The island was then called Albion, and was inhabited by a few giants. Notwithstanding this, the pleasant places, plenty of rivers abounding in fish, and its pleasing woods made Brutus and his company desirous to fix their habitation in it. They therefore passed through all the provinces, forced the giants to fly into the caves of the mountains, and divided the country among them, according to the directions of their commander. After this, they began to till the ground and build houses, so that in a little time the country looked like a place long inhabited. At last, Brutus called the island, after his own name, Britain, and his companions, Britons, from whence afterwards the language of his nation, which at first bore the name of Trojan, or Doric, or rough Greek, was called British. But Corineus, in imitation of his leader, called that part of the island which was given to him as duke, Corinia, and his people, Corinini, Cornishmen, after his own name, for though he had his choice of provinces before all the rest, yet he preferred this country, Cornwall, which is now called in Latin Cornubia, for it was a diversion to him to encounter the said giants, which were in greater numbers there than in all the other provinces. Among the rest was one detestable monster named Gogmagog. On a certain day, when Brutus was holding a solemn festival to the gods in the port where they had first landed, this giant, with a score of his companions, came in upon the Britons, making a great slaughter. The Britons at last killed everyone but Gogmagog, who was spared to wrestle with Corineus. Corineus, snatching him on his shoulders, ran with him to the shore, and from the top of a high cliff, hurled down the savage monster into the sea. The place where he fell is called Lam Gogmagog, that is, Gogmagog's Leap, unto this day. Brutus, having thus at last set eyes upon his kingdom, formed the design of building a city, and with this view, travelled through the land to find a convenient site, and coming to the river Thames, he walked along the shore, and at last pitched upon a place fit for his purpose. Here he built a city which he called New Troy, under which name it continued for a long time after, till at last, by corruption, it came to be called Trinovantium. But afterwards, when Lud, the brother of Cassibalan, who made war against Julius Caesar, obtained the government of the kingdom, he surrounded it with stately walls and towers, and ordered it to be called after his own name, Car Lud, that is, the city of Lud, or Lud Dun, which was corrupted into London. After Brutus had finished building the city, he made choice of the citizens that were to inhabit it, and prescribed them laws for their peaceable government. At the same time also, the sons of Hector, after the expulsion of the posterity of Antenor, reigned in Troy, as in Italy did Silvius Innes, the son of Innes, the uncle of Brutus, and the third king of the Latins. During these events, Brutus had, by his wife, Ignige, three famous sons, named Locrin, Albinact, and Camber. These, after their father's death, which happened in the 24th year after his arrival, buried him in the city which he had built, and then, having divided the kingdom of Britain, excepting Cornwall among them, retired each to his government. Locrin, the eldest, possessed the central part of the island, called afterwards, from his name, Llogria. Camber had that part which lies beyond the River Severn, now called Wales, but which was, for a long time, named Cambria, and hence the people still call themselves, in their British tongue, Cambri. Albanact, the younger brother, possessed the country he called Albania, now Scotland. After they had a long time reigned together in peace, Humber, the king of the Huns, arrived in Albania, and having killed Albanact in battle, he forced his people to flee to Locrin for protection. Locrin, on hearing this news, joined his brother Camber, and went with the whole strength of the kingdom to meet the king of the Huns and put him to rout. He actually drowned him in the River Humber, which is where we get the name for the River Humber from. Locrin married Corineus's daughter, named Gwendolina, and had a son named Madden, who was put under the care of his grandfather Corineus to be educated. And the chronicles then record the succeeding reigns down to the Roman period, in the reign of Ebraucus, or York, who founded York and Dumbarton, occurred the annexation of Germany by the Britons. The sons of King Ebraucus, fourth in descent from Brutus, under the conduct of their brother Assaricus, departed in a fleet to Germany, and having with the assistance of the descendants of Silvius Alba, subdued the barbarian people there and obtained that kingdom. That remarkable record in the British Chronicle states that about 970 BC, a colony of the sons of King Ebraucus, the fourth in linear descent from Brutus, sailed from Britain with a fleet and, conquering Germany, settled there. This now appears to disclose the hitherto unobserved British origin of the Anglo-Saxons and the Anglo-Saxon language. The term Anglo-Saxon, which is now so common in popular usage, was unknown to the Danish and Germanic invading Jutes, Angles, and Saxons of the 5th century AD themselves, and appears to have been first coined only in 1783 in Bailey's Dictionary as a term for the language of the Saxon Chronicle and of Alfred and that period. Anglo-Saxon as a racial or ethnic term is even more recent. This Britain invasion and colonisation of Germany by King Brutus's descendants around 970 BC now accounts for the first time for the Aryanisation in speech of the various non-Aryan Slavonic or Sarmatian tribes of Germany, and also supplies the date for this great epoch-making event in the history of continental Europe. It also explains the origin and existence of the continental Britanni, mentioned by Pliny as living on the banks of the Somme, the Catalani tribe on the Marne, and the various Gothic tribes in the Rhine Valley described by Tacitus, namely the Catti or Ceti, the most heroic of the tribes in Germany, the Chauci of the Saxons, the Quadi of Moravia, the Gothones and Gothini with their iron mines on the Vistula and Oder, the Sitanese and the Cumbri in Jutland, where we find a short time later Goths and Gothland, while the Angli, the Angles, the Ingling Goths of the Eders, occupied in the 1st century AD the neck of Schleswig-Holstein of Denmark or Jutland, adjoining the Cumbri or Cymry. An early Briton occupation of Denmark the home of the Angles, is also recorded in the British Chronicles anterior to the 5th century BC. It is thus seen that the Anglo-Saxons were a branch of the British Barat Phoenicians, or the Britons, and that the Anglo-Saxon language is derived from the Briton, the Doric, or Dorian, or Trojan, Gothic, or the British Gothic, introduced into Britain by Brutus and his Barat Phoenician Goths about 1100 BC, and to some extent, still earlier, by Catti Phoenicians from around 2800 BC.